We're joined by Howard Balzer from USA Today, fresh from probably the best game out there yesterday, Seattle and St. Louis. You were hoping and thinking that St. Louis certainly had a good shot. Tell us about the game yesterday, Howard. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Really, Nick, it was a story of two halves. I mean, it was amazing how imbalanced each half was. And by the end of the game, each team had basically the same number of plays and the same number of yards. The Rams dominated the first half, and the Seahawks dominated the second half. And then, of course, it all came down to the very end when the Rams went ahead late on a touchdown, the third of the game for Torrey Holt. Maybe the receiver, the wide receiver in the NFL that no one ever talks about, but he passed 10,000 yards yesterday, the fastest of any receiver in history. And then Seattle went down the field and kicked the 54-yard field goal to win it. Josh Brown was huge for the Seahawks because not only, Nick, did he kick that 54-yarder to win it, but earlier in the fourth quarter, he had two 49-yard field goals. So, I don't know, that might be a record for the three longest field goals in one quarter in NFL history, and that ends up being the difference in the game.
But there also was something strange at the end. When Ed Hockley was explaining that the particular penalty that they called Len Dawson does not run off those last few seconds and gave Josh Brown that last field goal. Will you explain that to us, Howard?
Yeah, well, but basically it was, the Seahawks are running up to spike the ball at about the 32-yard line. And there was time enough on the clock to spike it, and they spiked it with about 4 seconds to go, which stops the clock, and there was a penalty on the play. And, of course, the Rams are celebrating and figuring that they've won the game because they think it's going to be a 10-second runoff, which it is on certain penalties in the last minute of each half. But it turns out that probably the only penalties where that'll happen is a pre-snap penalty, like a false start or players not being set correctly. In this case, it was an illegal formation. And so in that case, there's not a 10-second runoff. And it gave the rule was put in to prevent teams from taking a penalty to stop the clock on purpose before running a play. And so that's why it's done for pre-snap penalties. Late in the game, you don't have a timeout left, and you don't want a situation where, hey, we can't stop the clock now. Let's do a false start. That'll stop the clock for a penalty, take the 5 yards, and still have the opportunity to continue play. So it was done for pre-snap penalties. Once the ball is snapped, a penalty that occurs there obviously is post-snap, and the time is running anyway while the play is being run. This particular situation, it was a spike, and had it been a false start, you could really argue that Seattle would have been victimized because obviously they wouldn't be doing it to stop the clock because they were going to stop it anyway on the spike on that play. But that's the reason, and that's why the rule is set up for those specific situations.